Hey everyone, it's Noah Barnett, the VP of Marketing here at Feather. And today in the studio, as always, I'm joined by New Tay, content strategist and the curator of Feather's Good Marketing Brief. Hi, New. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing all right. Yeah. We're in the season of transition with our kids. So we had like a huge season of kid activities where every weekend, every weeknight was kind of consumed by something. And now we're kind of in this in-between where like sports haven't started again. We're about to go on spring break. So it's definitely been a slower type of week and past weekends, which is nice.
That's nice. Yeah. That sounds nice. Way to recharge.
What about you? How's everyone treating you in Philly?
Everyone is treating me just fine. I was telling you right before this call or we started recording that my son is going through a regression. So he's not sleeping well, thus I'm not sleeping well, and my husband's not sleeping well, but we're making it work. It's surprisingly we're adjusting better than normal.
Yeah, and that's all you can do. That's a bummer. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's okay. It's the joys.
When the baby doesn't sleep well, no one sleeps well, as you said. That is a truth for sure.
Exactly.
Well, I know, as we always do, we want to dive into this week's Good Marketing Brief. And so let's set this up on what the topic is. And while before we do that, I do want to just kind of frame up for those that are new listening to this. The Good Marketing Brief is a weekly newsletter that we put together here at Feather to help you really like navigate the changing world and evolving shifts in nonprofit marketing. And New is a curator of the content where we put together a bunch of articles, resources, best practices, inspiration that you can have every week in your inbox on Wednesdays and kind of be inspired, but also like have some practical takeaways. And so, New, what was this week's topic of the brief?
Yeah, so I think, you know, every new year, there's always like so much content about marketing trends and fundraising trends. And honestly, for me, I find them to be overwhelming because it's different, right? For every resource list or whichever brand, publication. So I feel often like inundated with just like trends of like what we should be doing and here's what's coming up in the year. And these are all like forecasts, right? There's actually nothing set in stone. And these are just predictions that we're all having. So I wanted to just have a brief kind of focusing on some of the factors that are coming into play in 2024 and kind of help nonprofits kind of like refine their focus so that they're making good strategic decisions based on trends and not just doing it because everyone else is doing it.
Absolutely. I think that's a key thing we've been talking a lot about on the Good Marketing Brief this year is how do you ensure that you stay focused and do what's best for you. And so this is a very helpful brief and a good reminder. You know, we're in that season of transition again, like we're going into spring. And sometimes we need those new year reminders again. And so this brief does that very well. What were some of the marketing trends that nonprofits should keep an eye on and continue to keep an eye on as the year progresses?
So the two big ones for me, is first, we can't ignore that this year is an election year, right? So that always puts fundraising in flux. And I think this year is particularly unique because giving is in kind of an unprecedented era because we don't really know what's going on. There's like a dip in giving, there's a dip in engagement, there's a dip in trust. And now we have the presidential election happening at the end of the year. And so there's not a lot of resources out there like analyzing the data, but CCS actually released something not too long ago, tracking the trends of what happens with charitable giving, like during the years that an election is happening. And I mean, the first thing is that people will continue giving to your cause no matter what, whether or not there is a presidential election. But a key stat that they pointed out that like, fundraising or like giving to like political causes is estimated at like $2 billion this year. So that's the projection, right? And that compared to how much of total giving per Giving USA last year was almost $500 billion. So it's a very small subset. So the impact of giving, you might notice it later in the year as the election becomes full force, everyone's marketing, kind of taking that attention. And then you might see a lot of like rage giving afterwards, depending on how the election pans out and who you wanted to win. And so those are things to keep in mind that you might see the effects later, perhaps during year end as you're pushing out those campaigns. But
But
not
in
to
a
fret,
positive way.
in
I
a
think that's
positive
what's
way.
interesting too, is like you have the opportunity because a lot of these issues that will come up during an election year are issues a lot of listeners are working on day in and day
Absolutely.
out. And so it's actually giving, you can actually build on that. It's kind of the, there's a concept that someone coined called like newsjacking, which is like, hey, if something is in the news, how can your marketing like piggyback on top of that? I think it's the same. Like, you know, when we have State of the Unions like we did last week, or we have election kind of presentations or pushbacks or whatnot, what were those issues? And if I'm working on them, how do I lean into that? Because it's going to be top of the mind, top of mind and top of headlines. And so how can you lean in? That's a great advice. It's actually a benefit, not always a negative.
Exactly. And I think, in our space, we all do work that's involved in a lot of the policies that are the presidential candidates are trying to roll out or push out or change. And so, how can you be a part of that conversation? Because everyone's going to be keeping a close eye on it and following and tracking it because it's that time of the year.
Yeah. I do think it's important, and you mentioned this, and I just want to highlight this, is that it may not be competing for giving dollars, but it's definitely going to be competing and going to win. I think it's just you have to settle on this, the minds and attention of your audience. Whether it translates to them, you know, giving charitable dollars or not, but as far as mind share goes, it's definitely going to. And leaning into the previous comment is that ignoring that that's happening or trying to compete against that noise is going to be possibly a failed approach from the get. And it's better to think about how do we lean in, complement, continue the conversation, even if we don't address it directly, like acknowledging maybe this is a political issue or this is not a political issue, being culturally aware of what the current conversation is in, you know, the US or wherever you're fundraising is important, like it always is, that you don't want to ignore what's going on. And again, top of the minds, top of the headlines, as you do
Absolutely.
approach marketing.
No, I think that's a great point. It makes sure it ensures that you're relevant, or else you're kind of ignoring kind of the big picture of what's going on in our country, at least. And that can kind of isolate you as a nonprofit, and maybe supporters will kind of it might impact their perception, right?
Absolutely. In addition to trends, one thing else, or the other thing you touched on in this week's Good Marketing Brief was kind of emerging strategies or channels or tools. How should nonprofits kind of decide how to adjust their marketing strategies based on these emerging tools and tactics?
Yeah,
And
I
maybe
think
what
it's
are some of these that we should be considering how they impact? What are the emerging trends that we should be looking at?
yeah. Well, first, I think there's, I mean, this is something that Tobes kind of shared is there's a shift in the generations, right? Millennials are now becoming like the powerhouse of giving by 2025. They're going to make up the big chunk of charitable giving. And so if, and I know the conversation right now is like, engage younger donors, engage Gen Z. I know some are even looking at like Gen Alpha, which is like crazy because they're like not like little kids anymore. They're becoming teenagers and they're on social media and they have their thoughts and opinions. While that's well and good, and I think it's good to catch their attention and get them engaged, but the millennials are going to be the ones who have like that donating power and have like the money to give to their favorite causes that they support. So keeping that in mind as you're kind of building out your strategies, obviously not forgetting the older donors because they're still there and they're still important and they're still going to be giving a big, make up a big chunk of your revenue. But as giving changes, millennials grow and they make more money, it's just, it's good to just keep them in mind and making sure you're resonating with them because they are going to be your future donors or if they're not already. In terms of, I mean, obviously the new tools, right? AI is around, and I think that is scary for a lot of organizations because there's just not enough knowledge out there. I know we've talked about this in the past. But to your question of, you know, how do you decide what to, you know, invest in or what to bring into your organization? And this is where I kind of like to frame it as like, this shouldn't be a conversation about, oh, should I go into this channel? Like, will I make money? Will we raise more? It should be more, can we grow, like, can we continue growing our community by incorporating these channels into our strategy? And so I think that when you expand and look at these trends, look at these new tools coming out, it's really a deep evaluation of like, okay, how can we use this to grow that connection between us and our supporters? Are we going to bridge that gap a little more? Or is it going to add another layer of complexity? Maybe we have limited staff, not enough money, not enough time, and it's just something else that's going to take away from the other channels that we're doing. So that would be my first piece of advice, just a deep evaluation. And then if you do think it makes sense, getting your staff trained on it, making sure everyone's super comfortable, and then rolling it out.
Absolutely. I think the overall summary, and I think we're seeing this in the early responses from the State of Nonprofit Marketing survey we're conducting right now as well, is that often we take trends or tools and try to apply them to our business, mm-hmm. versus looking at our business and saying, how do these trends or tools help me impact our business and our goals, yeah. or our objectives? And I think it's kind of that I'm going to mess up the axiom, but it's like, we have a tool trying to find a problem versus a problem that needs the tool.
Yeah.
And I think often we can fall into that trap and that bias where it's like, oh, this is new. How should we use automation in our business? And it's like, right. Well, no, like what within your organizational goals and objectives could benefit from using? Yeah. Like it's flipping the script and where you start, in the same way we talk about good marketing being about your community first, not channels first.
Yeah.
It's the same with these tools and tactics. You don't want to, it's not about the tools and tactics, yeah. about how they help you or how it aligns with your strategy, right. that you're trying to implement. Absolutely. And your priorities. So,
yeah. And I think it's easy to get distracted, you know, by the hype, right? And I mean, there was one article that I shared about TikTok, how, you know, ad spend grew to like $4 billion. In Q4 of last year. When you see stats like that, you're like, oh, I need, like, TikTok's so successful. Like, I need to get on it. But it's like, okay, sure. But do you have people, are your supporters there? Like, do you even have an audience there to engage? So I think it's just really thinking about how it affects, how you can use these tools as a way to get to where you want and grow, versus like a solution to, that's like the end all be all, this will make us, this will help us raise more money and thus, yeah. like create more impact.
Yeah, I think I've looked through over 400 responses to the State of Nonprofit Marketing Survey. I think only three of them said that they are investing or exploring TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's not that that benchmark matters. Maybe for you, mm-hmm. TikTok is the best strategy you can deploy. But I think what is also revealing is when you hear where people are actually continuing to double down, invest more in, mm-hmm. it's the core channels. It's like, yeah. email marketing, yeah. mm-hmm. digital, social, even events, direct mail,
yeah.
offline channels. Like, that's where we're still investing. And we could potentially look at that and say that is part of maybe the problem, because we're perpetuating through the use of the same tactics over and over again. We're not evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it that way. You know, after being in the industry for 15 years, I do think the distractions can actually pull us away from the fundamental core of what we're all doing, which is trying to connect with people to work on a cause that we're for.
Yeah.
And it's all about connection. It's all about collaboration. It's all about reinforcing care for the cause, et cetera, yeah. to drive that. And tools, tactics, channels, trends, are only useful if it's actually helping you accomplish that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there, and I totally agree. I think the tried and true channels like email, direct mail, in person, they're tried and true for a reason. But the way we're kind of using them to get where we want to be is changing, right? 20 years ago, direct mail, single channel, it did its job. But as we've evolved, now we're looking at omni-channel. But now it's like, is our messaging right? Right? Are we connecting? Mm-hmm. And are we inspiring, like hope or passion or and a want to be involved? So I think the channels itself will, the ones that perform well will continue. It's just how we're using them to communicate and connect.
Absolutely. Well, I know every week you also include some inspiration or maybe some, you know, in the news type things.
Yes, yes, yes.
What was that for this week's brief?
Yeah. So last Friday was International Women's Day. So happy Women's History Month to everybody. And so I wanted to share this piece from The Drum that highlighted some IWD campaigns that were released. One of them was actually the Dove campaign with Drew Barrymore that I mentioned. And that was like a fan favorite of mine. But I put this in as a way to like, you know, I think for nonprofits, when we see like these event or awareness months or days, we just want to hop on it because like, you know, everyone's doing it. We need to be a part of that. And I think often it can be confusing on which awareness days that we need to like speak out on. And I think for me, when I work with the nonprofits I work with and they ask like, what awareness day should we do? But it's really about, okay, what is your mission? How can you align your mission and what you do and the solutions you provide with these awareness days? And do you already have a campaign in place, right? If there's a campaign in place, for example, for International Women's Day, I think it's like a perfect alignment. But if you don't have anything, you don't have any content, you don't have any like calls to action, then it's, you know, it's kind of, it falls flat with your audience. So just making sure there's a purpose there instead of just speaking for the sake of speaking. Because it just adds some noise.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it's being clear what you're for and what you're against and kind of leaning and doubling down on that, even if that's a narrow focus, and then kind of not ignoring everything else, but leaving space for the people that are working on that to shine or even celebrating that. I think that's another great way is you can actually be a resource to your audience on potential organizations and causes they might want to connect with on any specific day that's not yours, and really acknowledging kind of the holistic nature of generosity within your supporter base that is not 100% giving to your charity. You know, that's never been the case. And I think in some ways, I think the most recent stats said it's actually expanding. Like the average number of charities someone gives to has actually increased over time versus decreased, especially amongst younger.
Like
more of the millennial generation, which is kind of the core of the working population, kind of the future of generosity. So very Absolutely. Interesting. Love that you shared outside of the space campaigns, not nonprofit specific, but still cause oriented. I think we can learn a lot from those branded kind of social impact campaigns. And so thanks for doing that.
Absolutely. Anytime. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to connect with you each week to talk through the Good Marketing Brief. Again, this resource hits your inbox every single Wednesday if you are subscribed. If you're not, you can subscribe using the link below in the show notes or within the YouTube channel links as well. New, thanks for doing this. Thanks for giving to our community in this way. And we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be a part of it. It's the highlights of my week, Noah, for sure.
Well, so many of our subscribers say the same thing. So thanks again. Thank you all for listening and being here. Again, if you're interested in getting the Good Marketing Brief, you can take a look below. And if you already are subscribed, new will be in your inbox on Wednesday.
Next week.
We'll see you again then.
Bye.